Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Today we have a crazy story of revenge against a jealous sister. We'll get into that in a bit, but first, my tasty revenge against my neighbor. If everyone continues to turn a blind eye when ills are ongoing in the community, it will just be a matter of time before the whole city is ruined. This is what I believed. I still believe in this principle, even though some people might call me out for it. I mean, if you're clean without a skeleton in your closet, it shouldn't be too hard to call out an evildoer, should it? My name is Nate. And before Chris, my neighbor, came into the picture, I was one of those guys who loved the quiet serenity of life, tending to my gardening and my free time included. But the arrival of Chris into my life turned my world upside down. At first, Chris didn't appear to be anything out of the ordinary when he moved in. I considered myself a good judge of character, and when I sized him up while giving him a plate of casserole, I did not suspect him to be of unruly characteristics. But soon enough, the simple pleasures I enjoyed began to be of interest to Chris's misdemeanor. We weren't friends, just co-neighbors, but his actions to me declared war. Every morning I woke up to one new piece of graffiti or the other than the one I'd cleaned off the previous day. How did this all truly start? I can track the last time we engaged in a conversation without any hint of trouble back to the last outdoor gathering of one of our other neighbors, James. James and his family had had this tradition of having monthly outdoor feats where they invited other neighbors to have a nice evening. This was the second one that I attended with Nate in attendance, not because we were avoiding each other, but because the timing never seemed to click for our availability. At that very barbecue feast, the guys were joking about clothes and how some women didn't know how to push out an appeal of some sort. In a joking manner, I referred to Nate's shirt, which was a mix of random tie-dye designs. I said, with a shirt like Nate's, the guys aren't doing much better. It was supposed to be a joke, and for the rest of the guys in that little group, it was. We all laughed, with the exception of Nate, and we're back making another joke. The barbecue night ended and we went our separate ways to our houses. The next morning, while going on my morning run, I saw the shirt I'd made a joke from hanging a bit out of the bin bag. It didn't seem like much, but neither the joke I made, so I decided to wave it off, playing it as none of my business, as something might have happened to it after the barbecue that had nothing to do with me. Turns out, it was my business. How? It was 3 days after that the designs began. At the initial stage of his madness, I tried to address the issue as politely as I could. I walked over to his door, presenting my dislike for the sign, even if it was supposed to be a great sight for the street. But each word I spoke concerning the issue was met with a resounding voice of indifference from Chris. However, since he was not ready to settle our differences like grown adults, I decided to take the case up in a way he could never have expected. The good thing is that from the way we exchanged our grievances, he could never have expected that I would react the way I did. But the truth is, I could not just go on with the back and forth. It was infuriating, to say the least. Like instructing a child not to do something bad. But being a child, the instructions fall on deaf ears, and they keep at the silly act. That was when I decided to take the matter into my own hands. Since Nate was hellbent on pretending not to know what I was talking about, I knew the best way to bring him down was to catch him in the very act of vandalism. I had to catch him in a way that would be undeniable. So, that fateful day when I got back in from the last fruitless confrontation I had with Nate, as I continued to pace back and forth wearing out the rug in the living room, it became clear to me that using a traditional means to resolve the conflict and tension would be impossible. Yet I couldn't let his destructive behavior continue, and even if he was going to be destructive, he could find somewhere else to do it than close to my property. I chose to expose him to the entire neighborhood then. But I couldn't do it without concrete evidence. I refused to be known as that neighbor who shouts allegations without evidence. After a while, I moved to the room I used as a study, and this was where it all came to me, my mischievous plan for revenge. I had different ideas come to mind, but I wanted the one that allowed me to act as civil as possible and necessary. So I decided to put a tail on Nate, catching him in his act. While it cost me a couple of bucks, I knew for a fact that in the end, I would say it was worth the expense. I picked up my system and ordered a couple of discreet surveillance CCTV cameras that I could find. They arrived a couple of days after, and I installed them in the dead of the night. It had to be in the night because I did not want to give Nate any reason to believe I was onto him or make him change his location. I had invested my time and money into it, and it could not go to waste. I placed them in places he would never think to check, even if he suspected that I was surveilling him. The good thing was that he could not find me legally guilty of monitoring his movements, since I could easily deny that I was surveilling my property from unwanted and unforeseen circumstances. It was the perfect plan. All I had to do was wait, and of course, like an unsuspecting fish baited with a worm on a hook, he took my silence about the graffiti as my surrender to him. As I continued to wait after placing the device, the waiting moment felt like an eternity. At some point, the thought that I'd accused him wrongly came to my mind. Each night I would lay awake wondering if the CCTV had been able to catch him doing something he shouldn't be doing. From that wonder keeping me up, I would find my way to the study, checking through the video feed, watching, waiting that I would see something. Each night I went to bed tired and fruitless from my adventure, yet I refused to throw in the towel. A lot of energy had been used up, and most importantly, I could not see myself accepting that I was wrong about Nate being the graffiti painter. Then, one night, after my tireless and unfruitfulness of the previous nights, he was there in my feed. In the dead of the night, I saw the figure approach the bars of my house. I saw the figure with a spray can approach, and as he began to paint, another figure appeared. And just before I cut my loss in accepting that Nate was not the one vandalizing my property, he appeared from the other side of the road. Apparently, there were two of them. This was the unexpected part of the night. I somehow found myself laughing hysterically at the fact that he could have fooled me and gotten away with it if not that I refused to back down. I had what I wanted. I had the evidence that I could show to the entire neighborhood while I exposed him as the evildoer. But somehow, I didn't feel satisfied. I felt like this was somewhat of an easy pass given the stress he put me through. The sleepless nights, the money it...
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Storytime is sponsored by BetterHelp. Nearly everyone at some point in their life will struggle with their mental health, whether that's something stressful at work, in a personal relationship, or something else. I know that I really struggled with anxiety in my early 20s, and therapy was a massive help for me. That's why I'm a massive fan of therapy, and today's sponsor, BetterHelp. If there is anything in your life, big or small, that is negatively affecting you, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. It's an online therapy service that, after finishing a small questionnaire, will match you with a licensed therapist, where you can book appointments that match up with your schedule at any place or any time. And if you feel like you're not bonding with your therapist, you can switch at any point for free. Also, therapy isn't just if you're struggling with mental health. If you're looking for guidance or ways to improve your social skills, life, or relationships, it's a great judgment-free way of doing that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/StorytimePod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/StorytimePod. Cost me everything. So I decided to take it a step further. By morning, and the days that came after, I kept watching the clip. There was something about it all that fazed me. amused me even, the fact that without the evidence in my hand, no one would have believed me. It made me see that no one would actually know who they were. So, I decided that if I did the same thing, no one would know. The thought came for a brief moment, and for that brief moment, it took root and formed into a plan in my mind. I really do not remember doing it, but somehow I was sure I was the one that did it. I mean, it was my account, it was my name on the purchase account, it was the money that I used to pay, but all of this preceding part happened like a blur. I do not remember it. All I remember was getting the package, opening it, and seeing the cans of spray paint staring back at me. As I looked at the box of the crime tools, a sense of power washed over me. You would be right to call it my moment of empowerment. Quickly, I picked up the second crime weapon, my laptop. I scrolled through, searching for how to draw the easiest graffiti ever. The first couple of videos I found seemed greater than my level of expertise, but when I finally got the one that worked, I watched it repeatedly. I understood what I had to do and how to position myself. After putting in a couple of hours for the next 3 days, I was ready to begin the second phase of my revenge plan. Everything was set, and all I had to do was wait till night. Once it was dead in the night, I set out of my house with the spray paint cans in my hand. I matched the houses that I'd marked in my head. They belonged to the people that would be extra pissed. They would not let it slide till it became an issue. This was pivotal to the plan I had. You could be sure that my graffiti was no good, but at least it was something. It was enough to start up issues. The next morning, we were alerted by raised voices through the street of people demanding to know who had the audacity to desecrate the face of their property. Of course, I came out with the same complaint. This was where it got interesting. As different people gave their suspicions, I was silent. Then they asked why I was silent. I proceeded to tell them of the issue I'd been facing for a while and who I suspected to be doing it all along. They were quick to ask if my accusation was not baseless. Then I informed them that I had video evidence that I was waiting to make use of when the time was right, since the person in question refused to take responsibility and own up to his actions. Luckily for me, the video was on my phone, and I proceeded to show them. I informed them that after I caught him on camera, I took down the CCTV device as an explanation as to why I didn't have the tape of who tainted my house walls. You can guess that the reaction was priceless. They marched to Nate's house and demanded that he pay for fixing every wall that was desecrated the night before. They presented the video I had taken, stating and showing him the evidence of him and his buddy doing it to my house. It was sweet knowing that none of them could trace it back to me. But it was sweeter knowing that Nate finally got what he deserved, and that was the last time my house was tainted. Thankfully, they didn't have access to my purchase history. It probably would have been disastrous for me, wouldn't it? Kind of an odd note for OP to end the story on. I mean, if anybody had access to your purchase records, you'd probably be stressed out, even beyond committing actual crimes. Last thing I want is the judgment from people as they see how many times I order at 9 p.m. from DoorDash. That said, our next story is, if you're going to sleep with your coworker, don't be unprofessional. My name is Alexa. Well, Alex, since that was what I was known as at work. I was Alex, always buried in a truckload of papers, either trying to make sense of the numbers on the sheets or typing the numbers myself and making reports about something. I was an intern at one of the reputable firms in the city. I was recruited just after finishing college, and you could tell that I had that newcomer vibe with how I was serious with office work. While the other interns like myself, or those who were freshly retained as full-time workers at the firm, were off blazing somewhere, I was always glued to the tiny cubicle I was assigned. It would be unnecessary lies to say that I was okay not making friends or doing whatever the heck it was that they all found more important to do, regardless of the pile of work that they had to do at their respective cubicles. I was not okay doing that. However, I wanted out of the tiny cubicle. I was tired being like the rest of the gang from the very first day I was assigned to space. I wanted to level up and rise from the microcosm of the workplace, so I put the work in. From crunching numbers in finance to crafting compelling marketing strategies, I was bent on making my mark such that my role in each department of the company would be notable. You can already imagine that I was usually a target for the office banter among the new workforce. They usually termed me as a no fun or spoiled spot when I remind them of the deadline for due tasks. I was not the kind of person you informed about a hangout, be it on the weekends, but most especially not on weekdays. To be fair, they did know how to get their work done, at least most of them, seeing as the company was quite competitive. Everyone had to do something if they wanted to be part of the 5 interns that would be retrained after their first year of internship. Given my nature of being committed to my work, it was not unusual for me to keep track of what was going on in my surroundings. And because of that, it did not take long for me to figure out the breach of agreement that was ongoing between Keisha and Thompson. Keisha was one of the other 4 interns, and Mr. Thompson was the leader in charge of the interns. He was the one who assigned tasks, gave us deadlines to meet, and passed his feedback along to the department manager, who in turn gave the higher-ups the final feedback. How did I find out? That fateful day, I was pissed at the other interns. We had a joint deadline to meet, and as usual, they were not interested in getting the work done at the time we were given. They wanted it to pile up to the last minute before getting together to brainstorm on the project. I had a different opinion and I sought to do the work myself, hoping that they would join in later. That day, I went to the printing corner where the common printer was for all the interns. We weren't at the status where we had nearby printers, and it was a bit tiring to always have to go all the way to print. More so, the fact that I was pissed with the other interns did not make it better. The exchange I witnessed was enough to raise my annoyance. Over the weeks, I noticed this sort of favoritism between Mr. Thompson and Keisha. To be fair, I wanted to play it out as they kind of aligned somewhat, but it was more than that, and I could sense it. In every standing meeting, Keisha always had a sassy mouth. Whether she was kind enough to turn her work in, she never got to do it right. Yet, her actions were never important to be attacked by the manager. He would rather be found nitpicking at others' little mistakes. The scene I witnessed was preceded by hushed voices coming from close to the printing room. The voices were followed by childish laughter that you would not expect to be found in the workplace. This was why I decided to pry. I moved closer, wanting to see exactly what was ongoing and warranted the sound I could hear. When I did see them locked together in more places than one, a wave of unease swept through my entire body. I was stuck frozen in place as the scene before me continued to progress. They were beautifully engrossed in these activities such that they did not notice when I came into the room, or the fact that I was standing within a close shot of them. As I remained with each second ticing into the next, I was struck with disbelief. Although a part of me knew there was something of some sort going on between them, I didn't believe that it was intimate of any nature, and neither did I think that on the rare chance that they would be reckless to not only go against office policy, but to disregard the policy in the office space. It was quite unbelievable to me, at least. In that instant, it all clicked, the way they interacted. The unusual warmness and friendship, all of it made sense, and the annoyance kicked in more. I believed in hard work, and at the same time, I do not disregard the place of great luck. What I hate is unjust favors, especially not at the peril of other people's comfort. Everything they did was at the expense of my comfort. The night I had to spend picking up the slack for the entire team, knowing that our manager would tender his final report of the interns collectively, I was pissed at the injustice of it all. I was able to recover from the initial shock that I felt before they noticed my presence, and I began to fight the urge within me to
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Front them right there. But I didn't want to come off like a creep or a stalker. I couldn't let them flip the switch and put me on the spot instead. So I left the room without getting the printout I wanted. I got back to my cubicle, and I contemplated going back with my phone to take a picture in case they tried to deny it when I confronted them. But that didn't seem like a better choice than the first. There was also the fact that I could be reported to the Human Resources Department for conducting myself in actions that inhibit cooperation among team members. That was not an option since I wanted to become a full-time staff after the internship. This type of allegation would kick me out of the door instantly, So I did. I kept on thinking about what I'd just experienced, and before I could choose what to do, I saw Mr. Thompson stroll out of the room like he wasn't just conducting himself in unprofessional manners with a coworker. Shortly after he did, Keisha came out. If I had not witnessed what I did, I could not have guessed that a few meters from where I was, a thing of that nature happened. So it was no surprise that the others did not see it. I thought about raising the issue in the next standing meeting, such that the other interns and the team would understand what was going on as I did. But there was a fear of being labeled a stalker and peddler of false rumors if I didn't have anything to support the claims I was making. In the end, I kept what I had seen to myself, but it wasn't too long before I'd made the complaints known to the right quarters. The actions that would trigger me to finally explode, damning the possible consequences, started towards the end of the next week. Although we were almost at the bottom of the hierarchy in the company, the rumors reached our ears that there was a sudden need for evaluation of the current interns. We had spent just 6 months of the entire year, but the higher-ups had demanded a final report detailing the strength and impact of each intern in the first half of their internship. It was rumored that since this was unusual for the higher-ups to demand, whatever report was submitted would not only determine the fate of the interns, but also serve as a barometer of their potential within the company. As Friday drew nearer, you could visibly see the tension among all but one of the interns. Everyone was a bit scared of what the report would look like and tried to put in their best. In that very room, I witnessed the gory sight of Keisha and Mr. Thompson. I went to make printouts and found some papers stuck to the printing outlet. The person that was printing was yet to remove the printed copies, and out of benevolence, I wanted to check the heading to figure out who they belonged to so I could save them the stress of coming to get them. But what I would see stuck to the printer was the report Mr. Thompson made. Curiosity made me scan through, and when I did, I saw his favoritism and unprofessionalism boldly written in the paper with Keisha as the most resourceful intern. I was livid, but not too much to march into his office. I placed the papers where I found them and left the room. The rest of the day passed by in a blur, and I clocked out for the weekend. The weekend was a lot for me. I couldn't deal with it anymore. I was pissed that they would continue to get away with their act, and it could continue to the other interns that would come after us. So, by the next week, very early on Monday morning, I marched to the Human Resource office and asked to speak discreetly regarding the actions that could impact the company in a negative light that I have witnessed. I was taken seriously because, amidst the whole level of hierarchy when it comes to actions that could harm the company's image, there were policies that allowed subordinates to make reports on their supervisors. That was my escape route. I went in earlier than usual, hoping that no one would see me or trace back the possible backlash to me. I went in and I narrated everything I had seen. I was particular about going early that Monday morning so they wouldn't view my actions as retaliatory, since Keisha was more rated than I was. I couldn't understand why they had to bring their unprofessional act into the workspace, knowing how harmful it would be to the growth and development of the company, and this was especially to our supervisor, Mr. Thompson. He was the main person I needed the HR department to query, but in the end, I could only be sure of my actions. The reaction to my actions was fully out of bounds, but I got to know this quite late. The complaint I made to the HR department skyrocketed into something way bigger than I expected. Before the end of the week, Keisha was asked to turn in her ID card and clear out her desk before the end of the day. At first, I thought Mr. Thompson was let off the hook and removed from being the intern manager as a slap on the wrist, but I was wrong. It finally got to the ears of others that someone anonymously made a complaint to the HR department, and the complaint that was made got Mr. Thompson relieved of his duty with about 3 weeks to round off his pending tasks while he looked for another job. Eventually, I felt vindicated. If he was going to sleep with his coworker, he could have at least tried to separate work from pleasure. Being unprofessional got him what he deserved. You know, most places that have a rule about not dating coworkers has installed this rule because either they witnessed somebody or they personally had a really big issue going on. Or, especially like in this story, there's a power imbalance between an intern and a higher up. Usually I'm willing to turn a blind eye to an office romance, but when it ticks all the boxes this one did in this story, I mean, how can you not feel like you need to report that? especially when it's being used to put you down in your furtherment of your career. Our next story is, jealous sister breaks my new gaming laptop, so I break her expensive camera. Back when I, 21-year-old female, was in high school, my parents lived by a few rules. One of them was that they'd only get us the essentials needed for school and extracurriculars. We weren't broke or anything. In fact, we were sitting comfortably in the middle class. My dad worked at a bank, and my mom was a nurse, and together, they brought in enough money to take care of us and even set aside funds for things like college and all. But my dad would never get us something he didn't deem as essential. I think it had something to do with how he grew up. It had to be because he loved telling that story to anyone and everyone willing to listen. He grew up in a poor background, and he was responsible for his bills and taking himself through college. When he became financially stable, he wanted to make sure that we knew the importance of money by making some things we wanted unavailable to us. I guess that was his way of telling us to work for whatever we wanted. When we wanted something that wasn't for school, we had to give him a list of reasons why we needed it. The validity of our reasons is then gauged at his discretion, and he decides whether to get it for us. In the full 18 years where I lived at home, only a few things got approved by him. Believe me, it was easier to buy, save up, and buy whatever we wanted than wait around and come up with a 10 reasons why list which would surely be rejected. I had two siblings growing up, an older sister and a younger brother. I'd always been on good terms with my brother, but as for my sister, Julie, 24-year-old female, the opposite was the case. She was always pissed and irritated. I could count the number of times I saw her in a good mood. Most of her irritation was usually directed at me. We bickered at least 5 times a week, and she was at fault for the most part. I don't know why we were mostly on bad terms, but whenever I thought about it, it was almost as if she was jealous of me. Why? I have no earthly idea. But all evidence pointed at it, like that one time when I got a new dress from Mom. In my sophomore year of high school, I had a best friend named Sandra, 22-year-old female, and she invited me to her birthday party, which was taking place in her house. I didn't have a suitable dress for a party, so I told my mom to take me shopping. My mom and siblings usually went shopping together. It was like an unspoken rule. But that day, Julie and my brother, Oscar, 19-year-old male, were not home. Oscar had a group project with one of his friends, which was usually what he said whenever he wanted to leave the house and slack off with video games with his friends. Julie also went to visit a friend, and Mom was going to work, so she couldn't call them to come back home for shopping. Since the mall was along the way to her workplace, she decided to take me. I got the dress I wanted and returned home. When I was trying it on before I left for the party, Julie saw it and started throwing a tantrum. She complained that my mom had always shown favoritism towards me, and her buying me a dress was evidence of that. Mom tried to explain the situation to her, but she wasn't interested in listening to reason until Mom promised to buy her something too. But that on its own wasn't enough for Julie. After I attended Sandra's party, I took off my new dress and dropped it in the laundry basket I shared with her. A few days later, when it was time for laundry, I checked the basket, but the dress was nowhere to be found. I was sure of where I kept it, but for some reason it wasn't there. My mind went straight to Julie, and I confronted her about my missing dress, but as expected, she denied knowing its whereabouts. I tried to get Mom involved, but Julie knew just how to manipulate her. She said that Mom stepped in, only proving her point that she was always taking my side. Because of this, Mom decided not to get involved and told me to look around again. I searched and searched, but I didn't find it. A week later, it turned up behind Mom's rose bushes in her backyard garden. It was all torn up and ruined with mud. I remembered vividly that I'd kept it in the laundry basket, and there was no way it could have turned up behind the bushes if it wasn't put there by someone. But of course, Julie wasn't fessing up. And since there was no way to prove that she actually did it, I had to let it slide. I was even blamed by my dad for not taking good care of my things. Julie got away with a lot of things she did. Whenever I did something good or Mom and Dad praised me for something, she always made sure to find a way to undermine me. I ignored her for the most part, and that was why we were able to live in the same house for all those years. But then, there were some days that I couldn't let things slide. The one I remember vividly was when she broke my new iPad. Before I got that iPad, Julie requested a video camera. She told my dad that she needed it for a school project. That was a lie. She wanted the camera because she was planning to start some kind of streaming show with some of her school friends. But she obviously couldn't tell Dad that, so she cooked up the lie about school. He asked why she was the one buying the video camera, and not the school or some of her other classmates, but she already had a lie prepared. Dad was not very involved in our schooling, except when it was something financial. He threatened to call her teacher to confirm if she was telling the truth, but she knew it was an empty threat, and so she told him to go ahead. As expected, he didn't call, and the next day he got her the camera she wanted. When I wanted an iPad, I could have easily have gotten it with the same dishonest means she used, but I wasn't that kind of person. I prefer to tell the truth, at least to him, so I went to my dad and told him I wanted a gaming laptop. He didn't like my reasons for wanting it, so he refused my request. I really wanted the laptop at the time, so I decided to get it myself. I got an after-school job at a burger shack close to my school, so whenever I closed, I resumed my shift. I attended to my schoolwork whenever I got home at night. It took me a few months and consistent savings before I was finally able to get the laptop I wanted. I was so proud of myself, but my parents were even more proud. My dad praised me for my diligence and for being responsible enough to save and get what I wanted. I knew what came next. As always, Julie was jealous of my laptop and the praises I got from our parents. So what did she do? She started to report money missing and blamed me for it. She told our parents that I used her money to get my laptop. The only reason why they didn't believe her was that it was because it was public knowledge that she didn't know how to save a cent. Talk less of the amount of money needed to buy my laptop. Whenever she got some money, even the ones she wasn't expecting, there was always something important she needed to spend it on. When her strategy of making my parents think I stole her money failed drastically, I knew she was going to try something else. I put a password on my laptop, and whenever I was done using it, I always made sure to lock it in my wardrobe. I had a wardrobe key, and I kept it with me at all times. I never let her borrow my laptop, even when she said she had some school project to do. An accident could easily happen. I couldn't trust her with it. But no matter how hard I tried to make sure my laptop didn't land in her hands, it finally happened. One afternoon, I was home alone playing a video game when I received a call from my mom. She forgot something at home and needed me to bring it for her as soon as possible. I didn't even think too much about leaving the laptop on my study table. I went to meet her, and as soon as I got back, I met my laptop on the ground, snapped in two. There was nobody at home, but I knew exactly what happened. Julie came home, and when she saw that I wasn't around, she took that opportunity to break my laptop. To be sure, I asked our neighbor who was lounging outside his house when I left. He confirmed that Julie had come home when I left. I reported the issue to our parents, but as expected, Julie denied it blatantly, but our parents didn't believe her. So my dad grounded her and got me a new laptop. But it wasn't as expensive or the same model as the one I bought for myself, so in a way, Julie won and I couldn't accept that. I decided to get my revenge on my own. At that point, the one thing Julie loved more than anything was her camera. She had started her streaming stuff and surprisingly, she was starting to get a little traction. That was exactly where I hit her. One night when she was asleep, I took out her camera from her wardrobe and went down to the kitchen and got some table salt. I had earlier Googled what could destroy a camera, and I saw that salt water could do the job. I prepared a bath and poured the salt before dropping in the camera. As soon as I took it out, I switched it on. I think it shorted a circuit, or it fried the battery or something, but it stopped working. I cleaned off the water and returned the camera to the case before going back to sleep. It took over 2 days before Julie realized what happened. The day she wanted to shoot her content for her stream, she tried turning it on, but it wasn't working. She pointed fingers at me, but nobody believed her. My dad complained that she was always careless with her things, which was true, but she was never careless with the camera. She tried to get it fixed, but the parts were too expensive. She pleaded with my dad to get her a new one, but he refused. She tried getting a job, but she was always getting fired. At one point, I felt sorry for her, as she tried again and again to gather enough money to buy the camera. But whenever I remember all the things she put me through, I reminded myself that she deserved everything she got. I was gonna say when OP got that laptop, they can't let their sister use it because, God forbid, that laptop's gonna end up behind the rose bushes in the garden too. Well, it ended up snapped in half anyways. For somebody who's just a perpetual screw-up because of their own choices, you know, they can't hold a job, they can't keep their valuables intact, is there room to really feel bad for them? Like, maybe they need some professional intervention. But with that being said, that's all the time we have for today. Now, if you want to hear another absolutely crazy revenge story, check out that video on the left. Or if you missed my latest video, check out that video on the right. That said, I'll see you all next time with some more stories.